Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of the Score.
And we are pleased to be joined by the one and only Dan Weider from The Athletic, who I'm told, Dan, is this true? You're bringing the juice this morning.
Oh, yeah, I'm bringing the juice for you guys for sure. Let's go. It's Christmas Eve. We've got a playoff season on hands. It's juice time.
So Ruthie and I were talking about this earlier, and I wanted to get your take on this because you grew up here. You know what it's like. Like, all these people are talking about how this is the beginning of something special.
Oh, boy.
And I don't disagree. You know, on the surface, yeah, you would think you have this young quarterback who, as each week progresses, shows you more and more signs of greatness, right? And you've got an offense. I think everyone offensively is going to be back next year, right? All the key weaponry back with Caleb Williams in this system for year number two. And you're going to have an opportunity to retool the defense a little bit. But no matter what era you started following the Bears, whether it was the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or this millennium, when have the Bears ever had a team that repeated success after a good year? No, they won one championship. But when
they were winning division championships year after year.
Right, and they let you down, right? Like, you thought this was just like people were saying with the Cubs back in 2016, this is the start of a dynasty. It was not a dynasty.
So this is where my juice comes in, because I'm ready for this conversation.
All right, let's go, Dan.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's rock and roll on this. Well, two things here. So we're walking down to the locker room after the miraculous win on Saturday night, and I jokingly said to Kevin Fishbane, because the electricity was everywhere, right? Like, if you were anywhere in Chicago, you felt it, particularly just outside the locker room, you felt it. And I said to Kevin, man, next year's 8-9 is going to be a cold glass of water to the face. And it was just a joke, right? Like, just kidding. Where you and I differ, Zach, is the sustainability question can wait for 5 weeks. NFL off seasons are really, really long. We've got a ton of time to talk about what is relevant to the long-term success of this team. Right now, what's happening with this football team gives them a chance to go win the one seed, go win the NFC North, go win a couple playoff games. And so right now, being present with what this team is doing gives you an opportunity to feel some of the joy that you just described as so fleeting in this city for this team. And so, like, you just lock yourself in here, and we can spend all of February talking about all these other big picture questions. We can talk about how Ben can use his, you know, stamp on things to create everything that goes along with this. But what you described to me right there is what the NFL doesn't do a good job of letting spectators understand. And it's how difficult succeeding in this league is. There's a psychological stamina with all of this that I think is going to be tested to huge levels by the Bears. But again, right now, locked in here with this game coming up Sunday, with two 11-win teams on primetime playing for a chance to skip the wild card round in the playoffs. I mean, man, it's a dream come true for Chicago.
Yeah, Dan. So with that being said, the 49ers are a tall task at hand, especially after the way I think everyone watched them play on Monday night. Seems like they're clicking on all cylinders. Kyle Shanahan, another guy whose name should be in the mix for Coach of the Year with what he's been able to do with the hand he's been dealt this season. What will be the biggest challenge for the Bears on Sunday night football? Prime time, you know, what will be the biggest challenge in California?
It's defensively figuring out ways to slow down an offense that looks like a wagon right now. I mean, the 49ers did what they did on Monday night, but they've been doing it for a long time. This is one of the quietest 11-win teams that I've ever seen in the NFL. They've had no sort of buzz or publicity around them, and they've got every possibility of being the last team standing in the Super Bowl. They are explosive offensively. You look at McCaffrey, I think that's probably where you start when you're putting together a defensive game plan. He's got 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 16 touchdowns this season. And Purdy's playing the position at a high level right now. And he's got some flaws, and he'll give the football away here and there. And the Bears obviously have a defense that's been takeaway dependent this year. And so you can maybe find a way to swing a game there. But man, you're going to have to be ready on every single possession to know just how locked in this team is. And they've got a flow going right now offensively that's really, really difficult to slow.
So what kind of tactics can Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen use to make sure that the Bears are in the game for the first 58 minutes?
I mean, that's it every week, because that's all they need, honestly. And that's what's crazy about this team, Zach. And I know you've been around other teams where that magic has been there, and that concept of belief, which we will debate up and down on text threads left and right with this team, comes into play. But you do just need to keep the game within reach and then try to let that take over late. I think taking care of the football is a big deal. I don't think San Francisco has done a great job this year of taking it away from opponents. Caleb has done a wonderful job of keeping it away from his opponents. And so that's a big part of this. And then you've just got to find a way. I think this team has to find an answer to get started offensively quicker. Obviously, that was a problem again against Green Bay. It feels like it's almost like a 2-month issue right now that they haven't been able to solve.
Why?
Eventually, that's going to come back and bite you.
But why?
I don't know. One of the great mysteries of this team right now is why Caleb Williams can't find that extra level of playmaking flair that he has in the final minutes of games, in the first few minutes of games. Like, you've got to find an answer to that. That is one of the tickets to sustained success for this team, and they're going to have to find an answer. I know that they've been pushing to find an answer, and they just haven't been able to get themselves rolling at the start of games.
With that being said, Dan, the Bears actually did get off to a nice start on Saturday night. That first drive was nearly spectacular until that 4th-and-1 play call. So maybe they can sort of pick that apart this week and say, okay, we did some really good things here with our first 15. You know, we just got to finish that drive.
And then the old whoopsie play happened, right? And I don't know if Ben Johnson would be a little more forthright today than he was on Saturday night about kind of going to that play in that situation. I get it. Like, I understand that you've unlocked some things on film that lead you to believe you've got a look there. But I just, in that situation, I'd prefer to lean into a play that you've run.
Right.
You know, I know you've repped it in practice, and look, I'm not one to sit here and shoot holes in Ben Johnson's resume. He's much more accomplished than I at calling plays in the NFL. But you're right, Ruthie, they did have a really nice drive there that kind of had Soldier Field, you know, amped up. And
rocking.
Then it deflated because of the fourth down failure there. And so, I'm sure there's some answers there that you can apply going forward. And then you're just going to have to see again what the health of this receiving core is as we get out to practice later today, because even on Christmas Eve, the Chicago Bears are still at work.
Dan Weider from The Athletic is with us as we talk Bears here on the Molly and Haas Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, alongside Ruthie Polinsky, Zach Zaidman with you. I know you keep talking, and I heard Ruthie do this. You've done it, talking about the receivers that weren't on the field against Green Bay, but the Bears still had some pretty good receivers out there, or pass catchers out there, not necessarily with the title wide receiver. And I thought Caleb, when he got locked in late in the game, was able to use those weapons. And I think the thing that, and there have been so many puzzling things about this season, so many exhilarating things, but to me, one of the most puzzling things is you saw what kind of a weapon DJ Moore can be. You know what kind of a weapon Cole Kmet can be. Why can't Caleb connect with those guys more often, in addition to what he's done with Loveland and Roma Dunze when he's been out there, and Burton?
It's starting to come around with DJ, obviously, and it took some attrition of the receiving core to get that rolling in that direction. And you would think that maybe some of the momentum that DJ's built up these last couple weeks will carry forward. And overall, you've got a young quarterback with a new coach and a new system just trying to get himself settled. And so, look, like, we can all agree, all three of us can sit here and agree that Caleb Williams is flawed as a quarterback right now. We can all agree that he is not a tier one star at this point in his career. But there are undeniable signs of the growth and improvement he's made since last January, since last March, since September. And that's what you latch onto, because you see the direction this is going and you believe that momentum can continue, right? Like, it's going to have to continue in 2026, but Caleb has made an incredible amount of growth in some of the finer points of playing quarterback, which starts with being able to command a huddle, right? And do that successfully, efficiently, urgently, get to the line of scrimmage, understand what you're seeing, know where the answers are in plays. One of the next step is being able to take the plays that are designed and execute those and not have to rely on kind of extending play so often. And that's going to be something that the Bears will certainly focus on. Right now, they're obviously doing well enough to win 11 football games to put themselves within a victory of taking the North, guys, and then we'll see if they have any intentions of giving it back.
Shameless plug there, Take the North podcast. Dan, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about the Pro Bowlers. Obviously, Drew Dolman, so exciting for his first. Joe Tooney, yeah, the, you know, veteran, perennial Pro Bowler, and then Kevin Byard to do it at his age. I think it's all, we can all agree that they were all deserving, but also wanted to get your thoughts on who maybe should have also been on that list from the Bears.
First of all, Ruthie, shameless plug is my middle name, so that's going to be something that's going to occur regularly.
Love that.
So here we go with that. Let's start with the interior offensive lineman that made the Pro Bowl here, because my God, what a story this is. And again, we were talking yesterday at House Hall about how the Bears walked into the 2024 season in training camp, and they were hoping that they had an interior offensive line of Coleman Shelton, Tevin Jenkins, and Nate Davis that could take them to a new level, right? Like, you compare that to what they're dealing with right now with Dolman and Tooney and Jonah Jackson, and you go, oh my God. Like, I think between the three of those guys, they've missed maybe 8 snaps this year, right? Like, and that reliability element as a starting point is enormous for this team, and it's really cool to see that come together and create the cohesion. So very well deserved there. There's been so many people within the building who have said how kind of boring it is to play with Joe Tooney, because he just doesn't make mistakes and he always plays and he's just like he's, yeah, just a guy that you can count on at all times. On the topic of guys that didn't make it, I think Nashawn Wright, everybody agrees that, man, you hope that there are some postseason honors coming for him.
Yeah.
Because the season he's had under the circumstances that he's had them is it's incredible. And I know, Ruthie, you've spent some time around him. What a great kid. What a really focused, grounded, humble dude to be able to put together this kind of emergence to his career. He's going to get paid this offseason, and mm-hmm, we'll see if that's by the Bears or not. But man, it's just one of the great stories within a whole storybook of stories for this team this year.
It's remarkable, actually, you know, when you start thinking about it. I feel like every move they made, Dan, during the offseason turned into a home run, starting with the hiring of Ben Johnson, the staff that he brought with him,
yeah,
the draft picks, the free agent signings. You know, when you look, again, there haven't been many years where the Bears have been successful this millennium. But, you know, prior to 2006, last time they made the Super Bowl, they drafted Devin Hester, Daniel Manning, Mark Anderson, who was a big-time pass rusher that year, and they had an immediate infusion of talent that year. Think how many draft picks the Bears have had since you started covering the team, where you haven't even had impact ever, let alone the first year. And that's what you're getting this year.
Why don't you pull up the list and we'll go through some of the bigger headaches, right? Like, we'll go through the years and years of draft classes where you're like, oh man, oh, whatever happened to Brock Vereen? Where did Ego Ferguson go? You know, and like, it hasn't worked out. Well, look, like, there's been rookie classes before that have looked impressive after year one. And by the time you get to the decision-making process on whether they're going to stick around for a second contract, you're like, that class wasn't great, but this looks like a group that's built to last. And so you lean into that. I've been really, really impressed with Loveland's development, particularly after he missed so much of the offseason coming back from shoulder surgery. You feel like you've got a guy there. Mm-hmm. I know Ben feels like he's got a guy, and so that's like as important as anything, because you know that that's going to get unlocked to a new level in 2026. And I'll tell you just a little story about the coaching staff, because when we were at the Combine last winter, and you're kind of wandering the halls there and people are running into you, There was a day where there were four different people in the league, whether it be other coaches or executives, that said, look out now, you guys got a really good staff there in Chicago. And it was the names of Al Harris and Eric Bieniemy and Antoine Randle L. And you know, like, there were people around the league that are like, Ben has surrounded him, and Dennis Allen, obviously, that he surrounded himself with a staff that's going to be able to help him get off to a good start. And to watch that sort of crystallize here over the last several months, it's been pretty cool to see.
Love that. And you bring up Dennis Allen. I'll be curious to know sort of the way to attack Brock Purdy. I know we talked about it a bit, but Dan, when you look at this defense and the way that they take the ball away, you sort of have some concerns about the other statistical categories when you think about this team making some sort of playoff run. Is any of that fixable? I know we'll wait to see sort of the update on CD Gardner-Johnson, as well as, you know, been mentioning Kyler Gordon potentially coming back, but not having someone in that nickel position this weekend, does that concern you?
For sure. Bottom five defense right now in yards allowed per play. And like, you start playing some of these really talented quarterbacks and high level offenses in the playoffs, and you've got a very small margin for error, and that stuff's going to bite you if you can't take the football away at the rate that you've taken it away all season. I think the one thing to look at is they're about as close to whole defensively as they've been since camp began, right? Like, you got Jalen Johnson back. Now TJ and Tremaine are back. You're starting to get Pro Bowl caliber play from Montez Sweat up front, both as a pass rusher and a run stopper. And so you do feel some of that momentum building. It's still going to be a defense that's flawed when you go into the postseason. And again, like, everybody understands how narrow that ledge is when you're in the postseason, and how any small mistake on any small drive can lead to the end of your season. And so the Bears are going to have to deal with that. But certainly they feel like they've got some more health on their side as they go into January.
And Dan, I read earlier from you, they've got belief. So when you have belief, you know, what more do you need?
I'm interested to hear the 8 o'clock hour when you and Ruthie talk about the component of belief, and then I can just shout at my radio for a while while I'm getting the house ready for the day. But
No, that was at 7 o'clock. You missed it.
Yeah, okay, then I'll tune in on my drive up to Hallis later. But it's a big deal. I mean, and you can downplay it all you want, but I've been around teams like this. I've been in a past life covering college basketball, and there's I always bring up the 2010 Duke team that had no business winning a national championship, but they did so with two qualities that really impressed me. It was like the presence on every day and understanding what needed to be done that day to win the next game on the schedule. This Bears team is like that. And then just the ability to be so poised and so confident in late game moments. It's a differentiator, and the Bears have that differentiator this year. 7-2 is not an accident. 2 or 3 wins at the end of games is maybe, you know, you say, oh, that's pure luck, and it's a little bit fluky. 6 of them, that's a trend, and that trend you hope to continue through the rest of this regular season, and then obviously as far as you can go into January.
We got to go, but I do agree with you from this standpoint. I think luck has put them in a position where they can display that late game skill. You can't explain how some of this stuff happens, but what you can explain is that any time they get an opportunity to pounce, they do. And that's they what's do. Made this team this year so special, and which is why I was talking about the future. When you have one of these years, which you really can't explain, don't squander it. Because we've seen many Bears teams over the years not be able to take advantage, thinking that there was a long line of success waiting after the year. You don't know if that's going to happen. Take advantage this year. Something special is brewing.
Two really quick things, because I know you got to run.
Yes.
After 2006, they went 9-7 and 7-9, and in the next 2 years, 7-9, 9-7 back to back. And then after 2018, it was 8-8 and 8-9. So we understand what's on the other side of this a lot. Psychological stamina part of this thing is going to be enormous. I want you also both to know that you have open invitations to come on Take the North whenever you want. And we continue these discussions for as long as we want because we don't have breaks.
I've told Dan that we'll do it in Santa Clara. Not this week.
Oh, Radio Row,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, perhaps.
We might have three trips to Santa Clara in the next 2 months.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine?
I can't imagine.
Right. It's a good thing to imagine.
It is a good thing to imagine. Yeah.
Dan, thank you so much. You brought the juice.
All right, guys.
You brought the energy, Dan. You lived up to it. Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Weirer of the Athletic, making sure that we're awake. We're jolted with energy.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of the Score.
Paulie, I know you heard our last segment. We were talking about the national narratives that surround Caleb. You're around this because you hear and talk to a bunch of people on the national stage. How have you seen it evolve?
It's interesting. You could do an hour on this because I think a lot of people outside of Chicago and outside of yourselves and us don't watch entire Bears games. They watch highlights and lowlights, and they make their decisions based off those. And Caleb Williams, to be candid, is a polarizing national figure. And a lot of people hitched their wagon to reaction off him. I think it was 11 weeks ago, Colin Cowherd said that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams would not work out. When you make a declarative statement like that, you can't come back on it 7 weeks later when they're flirting with the number one seed in the playoffs. So I think he's a polarizing guy that people use for agendas as much as analyzing his play.
Paul, the 49ers have gone 19 possessions without punting. 19. How does the Bears defense come up with a scheme to stop these guys?
You know, that Monday night game, usually I watch the Monday night game very casually. And when I saw that 49ers offense, I was like, oh, man, can we get a break? I would say the good news for the Bears is they got two extra days off in compared to the 49ers. And rarely do teams play that well a couple games in a row. Christian McCaffrey's not what he used to be. Kittle's still good. Purdy looked fantastic. And the one thing, and I know you want the number one seed or you want to win the North, but at the very least, this is not for a playoff spot.
So, Paulie, walk me through your watching experience of Saturday night's game.
Ah. Okay, so I'm watching the game, and when the bad snap happened, it was a real gut shot, you know, that trick play, and I think it was for everybody because the Bears were just cruising. I think it was like 10 plays, 70 yards. They're cruising downfield, and it just stopped. All momentum on offense stopped. The defense was just holding on in the red zone. And then with about 2 minutes left, when Santos made that great field goal, but he didn't get it done before the two-minute break. I'm like, I don't see it. It's hard to see. And I'm not trying to be not confident, but I was just like, you start doing the math. I think it's less than 8% of onside kicks work. But when I saw Romeo Doubs back up instead of go forward to the ball, I'm like, oh. And then Blackwell got it. It was on. And then everything just broke their way. It's like Green Bay puckered up at the end. They had about five opportunities to close that game out, and they puckered up.
It was amazing to me on that play, and Clay, I know that you know a little bit about this too. I feel like the way Romeo Doubs handled that onside kick is going to be coaching tape all over the league on how to not handle an onside kick.
Attack the ball. You gotta go after that ball. Attack the ball. Get it. Don't stand there and let the ball play you. You go and get the ball. I mean, is that what you saw, Paul?
Yeah, it's exactly it. He hesitates by even a blip. And if you look at it in slow motion, the next thing you see are Bears coming into the camera view. And he probably sees them and sees that, and it bounces off. He's got great hands, but he has to attack, like you said. But once they got it, it felt like the game was on. And going to the late touchdown that a lot of people thought they should go for two, I like that they didn't go for two. I thought they had so much momentum and were noticeably the better team the last few minutes of the game. Why not get it to overtime?
When you talk to people around football and around the country about this Bears team right now, I would love to know what they're saying about the possibilities of this being more than just a really cute story for the regular season.
You know, this is what really frustrates me. I was online today looking a little bit, and people were talking about how many Bears victories there were snatched from defeat, and Vegas and all the different games, the Giants game. And people were critiquing it, saying this is not sustainable. Usually it's not sustainable, right up until it is. Mm-hmm. And the Bears have it's not like winning the lottery 3 weeks in a row. It doesn't happen. The Bears have found a niche where they believe in themselves in the fourth quarter. Now, is that sustainable through three playoff games? Probably not if you were going to bet against it, because it's a first-year head coach with a second-year quarterback. That's never happened with the Super Bowl victory. But I think when people say this is not sustainable, I think it's quite sustainable because they believe that they're going to win it no matter what. It reminded me like a generation ago, the New York Yankees in the late 90s. they would win every game, just about every game, and they'd win it in this eighth and ninth inning, and they just believed they were better at that time. And whether you're convincing yourself, it works, and the math just works.
I'll tell you that you don't have to go that far back or change sports. You right. can go back to last year's Kansas City Chiefs team.
Absolutely.
And now, look, it's flipped on its head. In 2024, they were winning one-score games like nobody's business. In 2025, they lost one-score games because that's the league. That's how the NFL always kind of balances itself out. But my whole feeling about it is this year has been so weird. Why not the Bears?
Yeah, and there's not a great team in the NFC. I mean, the Eagles seem down. The Rams are really good, but they could be beaten. They lost to the Panthers recently. There's not a great team in the NFC. And I see Packers fans this week and Packers media, more than fans, complaining this week, saying, oh, the Packers were better for 58 minutes. Do you think Vince Lombardi ever said, hey, guys, let's go beat them for 58 minutes. Go get them. No. You know, I don't care how you win. You know, football is not about judgment, even though that's kind of what we do. You know, Notre Dame didn't make the playoffs because of it. They were judged not be quality enough to make the playoffs. And I thought that was wrong. But if you were judging the playoffs, some people could ding the Bears and say, you know what? They're not a great team for four quarters. But it's just math. If the Bears keep doing this, nobody's opinion matters if the math works out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at Caleb Williams when he's trailing this year. Cardiac Caleb Williams when he's trailing this year. 72.4 adjusted completion percentage, adjusting for throwaways and drops. 1,943 yards, 16 right. touchdowns, 3 interceptions. To me, that shows you a guy that is playing best when it matters the most. Are you buying into the fact that Caleb Williams is one of these quarterbacks that when the game gets tense, when it's the most pressure on, that he is actually better?
I would rather have a quarterback that's great in the fourth quarter than the first quarter and terrible in the fourth quarter. Nobody would ever sign up for that. And the other thing, people like to ding Caleb Williams for his completion percentage. I'm looking at Josh Allen's second year in the pros. 58.8 completion percentage, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks. He's worked out pretty well because he had time to develop. His third year, he was first team all pro. Let it play out a little bit. And also, again, going back to judging the Bears, it doesn't really matter what they do in the regular season if they make the playoffs. Remember that the 2011 New York Giants? They won on the last game of the regular season. They were 9-7. They made the playoffs and they won the Super Bowl over Tom Brady. And that was an average team, 9-7, and they won the Super Bowl. Eli Manning is off; they're going to go to the Hall of Fame based off that win.
Yeah, he was Tom's kryptonite, and Tom mentions it quite often as someone who loves to find something to joust at. Paulie, we appreciate you, man, for jumping on. Are you going to pour one out for McGee's this weekend?
Yeah, McGee's Bar, very sad over there on Webster. I went there a lot. I may have an open tab there. And one thing on the tailgate on Saturday, we got Urlacher on the show.
Oh, cool. You and Brian will have a good time talking about this Bears team. It's nice to see him kind of reappear because that's a lot of people's favorite Bear of all time. So that's cool. Check out the tailgate with Paulie Papps this weekend here on The Score. Sir, we appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Paul.
Love you guys. Home with Flossmoor forever.
Damn right. That's Paul Papps.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of The Score.
DJ Moore and Caleb Williams at various times, maybe at the same time, were wearing, you saw it, the cheese grater head hat, a way to mock the Packers, who like to walk around with yellow cheese wedges on their hat.
Which is the corniest thing I've ever seen.
They think that's cool.
Life.
They think that's cool. So that has gone on. And now it would appear that other people are now investing in those, as tends to happen. Athletes will set styles. They will set trends. And our guy that's about to join us here on The Score, Manuel Rojas, is the founder of Houston-based Foam Party Hats, a manufacturer of high-quality foam hats of all kinds and styles and designs. Manuel, appreciate you being on with us. It is my understanding that you have received thousands of orders for that particular article. Is this true? Can you fill us in on that?
Hey guys, thank you. Thank you for welcoming to the show. And
sure.
Yes, we have received a huge amount of orders. We're up to today, we're doing around 6,000. And we had to push the delivery dates to February as of right now, just because the demand is staggering, to say the least.
Of course, Manuel, un placer. I got to ask you, are you a Bears fan now?
I'm the most absolute Bears fan that you can find in the U.S. right now.
Let's go! Listen, when the bonus is
on, I'm actually waiting. So I got my DJ Moore t-shirt shirt from the Bears. I'm waiting to receive it. I think I might get it today or maybe Friday.
I like it. DJ Moore, you need Caleb Williams, the whole squad, signed jerseys and everything. Now you just got to get all the babies, you know, for Christmas. They all got to get little Caleb Williams jerseys. You got to get the whole family, Manuel.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we are here now in Houston, so we're going to put that shirt right at the office, and we're going to put it in a right busy little space because it's being great, to say the least.
That's amazing. So, and you guys have the stock, right? You guys will get, everybody will get their requests in eventually. Is that the way it's going down, Manuel?
That's what we're trying to do right now. So everything we do is made to order. Then, you know, the benefit with us is that everything is manufactured in Houston, Texas. Right now, what we've done is just we cancel everything that we had, and then we're just producing this nonstop, trying to ship them as soon as possible. Then, you know, hopefully we'll get everything done in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, we just too preventive. We got some orders to be shipped on February or so.
I'm curious, Manuel. Yeah, who put in the biggest order? You know what I mean? Like, is it just a party? Is it a school? Like,
it's been more people buying one off. So we got a couple of persons buying 13, 10 or whatnot. We have gotten a lot of wholesale retailers approaching us, but we are not doing those right now because they want a wholesale. Yeah. They want bigger, bigger discounts.
No, you want the big margins on retail. Big margins. Yeah. I got you.
Exactly.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Manuel, our vice president, we have a vice president here. His name is Mitch Rosen.
Oh.
He's the Veep. He apparently recently spoke to Manuel about sending the greater head hats to the score. Any progress on getting us a little sampling? Man, we're willing to pay. Mitch will bust out the credit card. I'm not trying to get a freebie.
And put one with Gabrielito on it right there, just on the side.
Yeah, we got that order in. We're just booking out ship everything via Friday.
Okay. I love it, man. And this is really quick. Like, when this happens, like, explain exactly. Did you look at your phone? Was your phone blowing up? Was your email blowing up? How did you find out, and the rush of orders? Because I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that before this, you weren't necessarily a Bears fan.
And cranking out cheese
grater, right. That wasn't like the top of mind for you. We'll allow for that, Manuel.
Correct. So, I mean, honestly speaking, the cheese grater hat is something that we have sold for some 2-3 years now. And we have gotten, it's not the first time it got viral. The last time it got viral was in a game last year of the Detroit Lions against the Packers as well, where the Lions won, but nothing compared to what's happening right now. So it's a product. It's a product that we sell a lot, especially in the football season. Of course, this is taking a complete different, you know, volume with the variety of the video and all that good stuff, and how the game played itself with the comeback and all that good stuff. And the way I found out is like Saturday I went to bed really early, and then the first thing that I always do every time in the morning is to check my emails. And I just saw that we got like 300 orders, and I was just like, what the hell is going on? And that's when I started reaching out and seeing what was happening. That's when I saw the video, and then I was like, oh, there we go. That's why.
That's amazing, Manuel. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Score. We look forward to getting ours as well. Thank you for what you do. You're making people smile. You're making people happy is what you're doing right now, Manuel.
That's what we strive to do, and that's what we say in Phone Party Hats. Is, you know, it's where the party starts, and we like creativity, and we like, you know, putting a smile on people's face.
Yep. Manuel Rojas, thank you so much for coming on with us, and get your orders into him.
All right, so you're heading back to Dwight. Is that the holiday plan?
Yeah.
Do they like do a parade for you when you come back, or what? Like, what's the deal?
I usually keep a low profile, but I did go back for a high school football game this year. The Dwight Trojans made the semifinals. It's always fun, man. They still got my jersey like hanging up in the school. Like the first thing you see when you walk in is my Philadelphia Eagles jersey next to a Trojans jersey. That was fun to see. I go to the Hall of Fame wall. There's like five people in the Dwight Hall of Fame, and That's always cool to see. And then I go check my track and field records, Lawrence, to make sure nobody else has passed me up there yet. Somebody got me for high jump, but I still got long jump on the books there. Hopefully forever, man.
I'm looking right now to see who the famous people from Dwight are. You are the third person mentioned.
And who's number one and two?
Congressman Frank L. Smith and Jerry Weller, and NFL player / reality star Clay Harbor.
Oh, that's good.
And then early film actress Mabel Trunnell and student activist Diana Outen. Those are the famous people from Dwight, Illinois.
Oh, man, it's fun. I love my time in Dwight, man. A lot of good people out there in the country helped me to obviously get to the NFL. Nobody goes to college from Dwight and to be able to get where I got. Oh, a lot of people, thanks. And I got one more Bears take before we get out of here, Lawrence,
if I
got a couple of seconds here.
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
I think Caleb has a chance to reach 4,000 yards, and here's why. 49ers pass defense is not great. We already talked about their pass rush is not great, right? They're giving up 230, 240 yards per game.
He's 600 away. Exactly 600 away.
The Detroit Lions, the last three games, are averaging 320 passing yards allowed per game. Their defensive backfield is decimated. Brian Burns is out. Kirby Joseph is out. If the Bears can get, if Caleb can get like 280, 260 this week, there's a chance. If you're still playing for something against the Lions, Caleb can come through and get to 4,000 yards. I haven't given up on it yet. Obviously, we want to win more, but I still think Caleb has a chance to hit 4,000.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.